Welcome back to the Dentistry Online podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking to Victoria Wilson, who began her journey as a dental therapist, but is now the founder of the Smile Revolution, an organisation that promotes oral health messages to support progress in the dental profession. Victoria is also the founder and former president of the Emirates Dental Hygienist Club. So before we chat about the Smile Revolution, how has lockdown been treating you so far?
I've got two little girls, aged 2 and just 4, who need constant entertainment and activities day in, day out. So yes, this household is extremely busy. Well, you know, it's initially we thought, oh my goodness, at home, no more play dates, no jump in, no activities, no going to the park, which was a daily activity. What are we going to do? Thank goodness we have a garden. I feel so blessed to have a garden.
My garden was a lifesaver, really.
It's been our sanctuary. We got a paddling pool and a trampoline, and we've got a sandpit already and lots of plants and gardening tools. And we've nurtured a flower bed, this beautiful flower bed. I'm very proud of myself and the girl. We've got a vegetable patch now, and our potatoes are sprouting. So I have to say, I'm sure for many of the listeners, this has been our sanctuary for those of us that have gardens. And, you know, it's been amazing, especially with children, to be outside in the garden.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, sounds like you're keeping yourself busy. So, I mean, away from family life and more onto the dentistry side of things. Obviously, you've got the Smile Revolution, which focuses on sort of promoting oral health messages. And I mean, do you feel this has become a lot more relevant now during this time? And I mean, what actually is it? What is your aim with this project?
Well, the Smile Revolution focuses on oral health promotion. I am a dental therapist and I've worked clinically since 2003 when I qualified, and I've loved every minute of my clinical work. Throughout my clinical work, I always had so many questions that I was mulling over in my mind on a daily basis, or observing maybe how could we have done that better. So I guess constantly analysing and reflecting on how we as a dental professional working, and individually clinically, how to reach the public more through oral health messages have always been a burning question within me. And I completed a bachelor's degree in oral health promotion a couple of years ago, which again, I guess, fed this reflection that I've always been doing, but allowed me to then pursue it a bit more. And out of this really came Smile Revolution, which is oral health promotion that focuses on promoting oral health to the public and empowering and supporting the advancements of the dental profession. And the podcast that I produce is one of those branches of the Smile Revolution tree, I guess, of, you know, what we're trying to do. And I'm loving the process, and I'm so inspired by what I'm doing every day, thanks to all who I'm involved in through the Smile Revolution. So
I mean, obviously, this is something that you've worked on. Like you said, the podcast's been going for a year, Smile Revolution has been going for longer. Do you think this time now is really going to, how do you think that's going to impact these kind of problems that you're trying to sort of raise awareness of? So do you think the pandemic is going to, do you think it's going to see sort of an increase in these kinds of issues?
Well, I think the number one fact that we are all so aware of is access to dental care. It's not obviously possible at the moment. And children, parents, you know, we are all at home not being able to access regular checkups or preventative appointments or hygiene appointments. So I have to say that yes, I do sadly feel that it is likely to have an impact. And I think I read something the other day on, you know, the prediction of what could be as a result of what we're currently going through. So I feel at this moment in time, our role, certainly as a profession, is in oral health promotion, you know, encouraging for specifically what you spoke on children, supporting parents and in reinforcing the message of brushing twice a day. You're not necessarily, and parents aren't in a routine at home of getting up in the morning and getting brushing the teeth and going to school, or brushing the teeth, having breakfast and then going to school, and then coming back and snacking through the day. Maybe what are they snacking on? So, you know, I think colleagues, I've seen it, they are doing a remarkable job on social media, spreading the message. And it's for us as a dental profession, even more so than now, to step up and think, what else can we do to reach the public to support healthy oral health habits during this time, and positive or, you know, health habits around diet as well, you know, making sure. I've seen Tim Ives, a wonderful colleague of ours, he's put something out through the BSDHT on some work that he's doing, encouraging people to quit sugar. And, you know, there are lots of people as well working on other projects. Look out for the resources such as James Gornick, Kick Sugar. What tools are available to us to support, that we can utilise to support the public through our means at home at the moment? So
no, absolutely. I mean, what kind of things do you think people like yourself or other dental professionals can do in this time? Because obviously you spoke about social media, which is obviously a really powerful tool for getting messages across. What other things do you think dental professionals can do at this time?
The sky's the limit. Possible. Okay, yes, social media, of course, is such an avenue. Contacting radio stations, going on radio, I mean, going on TV, reaching out to various different broadcasters to say, you know, can I come on the news? Can I speak about this? Collaborating, as we are doing now, you know, with other channels, other podcasts, you know, spreading messages, reaching out to people, influencers, I think within within what your target may be. If for me, one of my targets is parents, you know, reaching out to children. How can you connect with them now? What can you create that they could maybe want to play with and utilize or build, or what can they do at home to support the parents? And having that oral health message associated with that. People that have got a wider reach, I don't think we need to always focus on working within the dental profession, reaching out to the dental profession. I know there are wonderful influencers in dentistry already collaborating with other industry players from other professions, and, you know, working on our network. I think everybody's doing a remarkable job at that, reaching out and connecting with people that we haven't connected with before, and nurturing those connections to spread the word and create more. I think this is a wonderful time for the dental profession to advance even more than we have done. We have to. We're stuck at home. How else can we reach people?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think you've got to see it as an opportunity. Just bringing people, you know, even, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like it's really, with my neighbours, for example, it wouldn't, prior to this, be unusual for us both to come out the door, get into our cars and not necessarily acknowledge each other. But now, you know, there's a lot more of a sort of community spirit, which I think can be, you know, transported into the dental industry as well, and cross other healthcare sectors.
Absolutely. I think it would be a groundbreaking time in dentistry. I spoke to some colleagues the other day, and, you know, the work that they've been working on research wise, like at home, no moment needs to be idle. Certainly it's not idle with children, but, you know, if you have a breather, you know, get involved in research or looking into something that you're really interested in and explore it. Now is the time, you know, to do the things, obviously, that I think a lot of people are probably feeling that they haven't had the opportunity to do before. So
yeah, no, definitely it has to be looked at that way. Okay, so moving away from the pandemic slightly, what changes have you seen in dental hygiene and therapy sort of over the years across your sort of career?
Throughout my career, I mean, when I qualified, we were the first cohort to really come through the Eastman that were allowed to work in private practice. So that, you know, it was a really exciting time. And then moving on, you know, we've seen direct access. As a therapist, more, more clinicians are slowly working and utilizing the skill set of a therapist more than when I qualified. But I think we're still not being utilized to our full potential within practice. So there's certainly, I think, more skill mix and more awareness to be done on how we can work together as a team to serve patients as a whole, working with dentists. So I think, there's been a huge advancements in what we're doing, and I feel that yes, we're reaching out, we're more vocal now, more and more people are obviously aware in the public of therapists and the role of a therapist and a hygienist, but yeah, there's still a lot of awareness to be done, but I think we are moving forward in a positive way.
So you've definitely seen some improvement then since you started.
Definitely.
What would you say to people starting up now then, if this was, people just getting into this side of things, what would your advice be?
Nurture and know yourself and nurture what you love in dentistry. Because I strongly believe, I shared a promo the other day from the Smile Revolution, and I think this is so true. Everybody within dentistry has something unique to offer to the dental profession, and more importantly to serve the public's oral health. So what inspires you? Because we are naturally as human beings driven by what we like and what's important to us, what makes us move, what makes us think, what sparks something within us. And we're very much during our education, obviously consumed by regulations and obviously wanting to do the right thing. But once you've absorbed all of that, what's unique to you? What do you love that you could run with that could advance us as a profession to serve something in the public's oral health needs that maybe isn't currently served? So constantly exploring and working always with your colleagues to develop that, and the public, because the public is who we're serving, and getting feedback from them. What do they want? What's going to support them, and being agile. We need to be agile, and we can get very, focused on working on something, but we need to be flexible to adapt it to work as we are all. We can see us all now adapting to what we're currently going through. And I think this is one of the really positive things that's going to come out of, the overall time we're going through at the moment, is we can be flexible, we can change very quickly, and we need to constantly be doing that.
No, definitely. Yeah, it's really hammered that one home, I think. It shows, I think maybe prior to this, there's this sort of traditional sort of dental practice, but sort of shown that maybe dentistry can have this element of sort of remote, I'm not quite sure what I'm trying to say, but prior to this it's been sort of very much, the patient's in the chair and that's where your work is.
Absolutely. I've been obviously speaking to lots of colleagues, and I know that some people have certainly been reaching out to their colleagues, their patients, sending newsletters out, and even speaking to patients on the phone. You're right, historically, we have always been working, seeing patients, but I think this is the time for us to all realise how the additional value of connecting with our patients remotely can actually and has the potential to support their oral health. And I think the potential value of this is maybe starting to be recognised more and more. And I think specifically from a preventative standpoint, this way of communicating now will certainly live on after what we're currently going through, and has the potential to really, I feel, impact oral health and hopefully reduce the burden of oral health inequalities around the world somewhat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Obviously, first and foremost, is always prevention, isn't it? You don't really want the patients to even get to the point where they have to come in. The idea is to keep as many people away from the practice as possible, really. But
now, I think, as well. We're having to think about that, of course. You know, prevention is certainly the way, the future forward. And the opportunity to access, you know, people maybe that have not been attending dentists regularly.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a huge amount of people in the UK, at least, that don't regularly go attend the dentist or go and, you know, have their teeth checked up. My friends don't. You know, they say, you know, a lot of them actually, I know having a phobia of the dentist is very common, and a lot of them are very sort of worried about and anxious about going in. And, you know, I try to talk to them, like, just, you know, they're so helpful, and they're there to help you, and they can make it as comfortable as possible. But this definitely is a massive, massive problem when it comes to sort of people regularly attending the dentist, I feel. But
and I think you just picked up on something very relevant, because, yeah, we are fully aware as a dental profession that people have anxiety and are phobic, and we are always trying to ensure that they become regular attenders and we reduce their level of, you know, how phobic they potentially are around the dental setting. But actually speaking to a patient via an online secure platform is a wonderful opportunity, because you're removing that maybe fear factor of what's coming next, because they know we're not going to be doing any treatment today. We're purely here to support their oral health and moving them along their oral health journey as such. So I think specifically for phobic patients, this is a wonderful platform to explore further.
No, I agree. Talking about sort of back to dental hygiene therapy, obviously it involves a lot of aerosol generating procedures. In light of this, how do you think this is going to have an impact? I'm not going to say post-pandemic, because I think that's probably the wrong phrase, but I mean, when we do start to see some level of actual sort of normality returning, and, you know, routine dental practices sort of back up and running, how do you see this impact in dental hygiene?
I know there's been lots of papers worked on looking at and collating as much of the evidence over this short period of time that's been possible to collate. I mean, I think it's made us as a dental profession really start to look into certain aspects of treatments and procedures. So we potentially will be looking at things from a risk assessment point of view in more detail. It's broadened our knowledge on this, and we will adapt and we will continue to treat patients moving forward having adapted. So it's just made us really look into our processes. I feel, I don't know if I can say really just, one of the things it's certainly made us look into and making us more aware of cross-infection control. I think we would all feel as a dental profession, we are very aware. And
okay, I mean, you're in people's mouths, right? You have to.
Yeah.
You're literally, you know, you're dealing with people's mouths. Am I right in saying it's the place in the body with most bacteria? Is that
absolutely
right?
You're bang on there.
There we go. I remember GCSE science coming back to me.
Oh my goodness, I wish more people recognized that and shared that. It's so true. But yeah, exactly, you know, we're so aware about aerosol pre the pandemic, but I think even more so now, and maybe looking more into risk assessments and ways that, you know, we can obviously continue moving forward. So yeah, it's been an interesting time and an opportunity for us to look into things in more detail, and I think things will be refined accordingly. We'll be questioning things more and upping the bar, and continuously upping the bar. You know, people's lives have been affected in varying degrees to what's been going on, and, you know, my heart goes out to each and every one of them that have been impacted by this, you know, in a greater way than, you know, some of us. But I guess my approach to my life and my philosophy is, yeah, we can look at the negative, but it's not going to serve us now or moving forward. We need to maintain a positive outlook to advance. And I think Drew Shah, who actually featured on my podcast through Dental Tubules, you know, is such an advocate and such a spokesman for leadership in dentistry, speaking on, you know, looking at the opportunities and you know, this is where we are now, and what is the solution moving forward? Let's explore this. We can't change what's happened, but we can change our mindset to not allow us to feel heavier than maybe we need to feel, or, you know, more resistant to the situation, because that's not going to serve us in a positive way moving forward. And you know, life will continue and we'll move forward. And the more, I guess, we look at the opportunities of change and how we can embrace them, the faster we will come out of this and find new channels. So,
no, that's a nice way to look at it. I think, you know, if we're just looking at purely sort of clinical side of things here, especially, it's like you said, it's something that people have to work, it's something to work with and work around and adapt and change and be flexible. And I think that's teaching everyone those values at the moment. Where is our life?
Finding that solution.
Yeah,
you know, it's tragic, isn't it? It really is. We can find the solutions, and the more we work together to find these solutions now, the faster we will get out of this and come up with evidence-based solutions that are safe for the public and the profession.
Absolutely. And what are you going to take away from this? I mean, obviously we're speaking very general terms here, but is there anything you've already started to sort of do that's sort of taking into consideration the current climate, anything that you're sort of adapting?
Well, I'm all about sharing anything I've learned, and I guess others sharing what they've learned to advance. So I am working on releasing a course on oral health promotion to support all dental professionals, nurses, dental hygienists, dental therapists, dentists, in ways to establish out of the box oral health promotional ideas and how to work with them and make them sustainable. A big part of what's influenced me has been a leadership course for dentists, the dental profession. I share it frequently. If you haven't done it, any dental professionals listening, do. It's the Global Child Dental Fund Leadership in Dentistry. It was, I believe, worked on with Harvard, and I believe Kings, and Professor Raymond Beedy is the one of the most instrumental people behind this, focusing on and recognizing the need for leadership in dentistry. So I wish to share anything I've learned through my work within oral health promotion and what's fed me with others to help maybe start oral health promotional courses. Or projects, not courses. So I'm trying to put together this at the moment, so this will be out soon. And I'm also looking at working more with dentists on strategies to promote oral health from their practice. It doesn't have to necessarily be the way that we had been reaching out to the public before. We can maybe reach out to them in a different way as dental clinics. So yeah, if I'd love to speak to any dental practice owners or dentists that wish to explore this more, because I would be delighted to work on any oral health promotion with you all. So yeah, I've also been offering free yoga to the dental profession throughout. So it's just, you know, to support mindfulness. I'm a yoga teacher, recently qualified, but the reason I did it was because I found that the need as a dental professional, you know, was there, and it helped me hugely through my years in practice. And I now wish to share this with others. So again, if anyone wishes to join my Smile Revolution yoga.
is this a Zoom style yoga?
Yeah, can you all on Zoom? But I thought, you know, returning to clinic, people can do this, right? Let's start morning. I used to do it. I used to live in Dubai, and when I was training, actually, I used to run morning yoga for the dental clinic. So if you want to join in, just give me a shout.
can you all see each other? Because I've done some online workouts. I did one with, so my sisters are part of a netball team, and I got involved the other day, and there was like eight or nine of us just all looking at each other on Zoom, and everyone was doing press-ups. You could just hear everyone breathing into their laptop microphones. It was kind of, I was trying really hard to concentrate and like do it properly, because I get a bit competitive, but I could just hear everyone out of breath, and I'm like, I don't know if I can do this again. But with you, I guess yoga's a lot more sort of,
one tip that I learned was you've got to put everyone on mute.
I think that was our mistake. We need to learn from that one.
I learned that one early on. Mute everybody. Feedback from my other yogis. Yeah, everyone needs to go off mute. Everyone's on mute. I have to share a disclosure as a yoga professional at the beginning, or a registered yoga instructor. You know that for everyone need to be sure that there's nothing that could be over going over their mat or anything that they can look on throughout. And you know, I have to share a disclaimer, and they have to all send me a new student evaluation form to participate in the class. Yeah. Because, you know, from a medical standpoint, and I need to offer adjustments to maybe anybody that needs an adjustment, but it's not possible, obviously, to see everybody that joins. So everybody needs to take responsibility, obviously, for themselves. But obviously, I share this at the beginning of the class. But yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it sounds fun, and definitely something that people might need now as well. I mean, that kind of leads me to sort of my final question, which is, what do you like to do outside of dentistry? I mean, obviously you've just said yoga there, but is there anything else that people don't know about you?
Well, yoga, yeah. I've always loved the arts. So I used to do lots of acting when I grew up, and
is that not something you do now? Is that just
Well, yeah, I did to a number of years ago. When I lived in the Middle East, I was in a few TV series.
Oh, okay, you're gonna have to tell me about that. What was it about?
I'm famous in Saudi.
Yeah, famous in Saudi. What did it involve? What did you have to do?
Oh, well, I did lots of like independent films when I lived in the Middle East, more than anything. And I then became slightly involved with NBC in a series, and it was fun. And then another series came out and they wanted me to join in one of the parts, and it was when I was really busy in clinic. I was working full-time in clinic, and they said, look, we've got this role for you, we need you for this role. I said, please, I can't do it, you're gonna hate me, I'm never available, and I don't finish clinic till 6 p.m. and I cannot cancel any patients. Don't worry, we'll wait. And the role ended up evolving so much. I was a support to one of the leads that it became one of the main kind of roles within this TV series.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I really enjoy the acting, and I've really taken it. You know, I've done lots of studying behind it, but certainly dentistry is my vocation and my profession. Yeah. And all these, you know.
It's nice to have that though. It's so different from dentistry, you know. It's just nice to have something that you. It's a way for what you do on a day-to-day basis. I like that.
But I think the I'm sure lots of listeners, actually, I know quite a lot of dental professionals that are into acting or the arts in some capacity. I feel that there's a creative flair for all of us to a point, or a lot of us. So I think if you were to ask lots of dental professionals, you know, what are their other hobbies?
I'm sure. So I'm going to change to my final question now. Is, other than what do you like to do out of dentistry, it's going to be, do you like the arts? Do you act? And see how people say yes.
Your artistic flair, or, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I'll change that. I'll do whoever's up next. So yeah, that question's coming for them, I think. Yeah. But thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me.
And yeah, I hope the rest of this lockdown is okay for you.
Getting more creative as parents, I can tell you that.
Well, then that's something. That's definitely a bonus.
That's a huge bonus. Put this anywhere for any amount of time, we will come up with the best activity.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm sure I'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me on.